For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, December the 28th, 1994. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Well, if you will allow me the privilege of praying over our finances, stand with me, please, and agree with me. Father, I thank you again this evening for the finances that you have given into our hands here for the furtherance of the Elder Bible Camp and those who minister here. I thank you for it. Father, I come as a priest of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. You've appointed me to be in charge and overseer here. Father, I come, and I come to Jesus, who is our high priest, and bring this offering, present it unto him, to be given unto you as a sweet savor upon the altar before the throne. Thank you for receiving it from these thy people, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to rest upon it and upon them. Now, Father, as I become steward over it, I bind these finances to the kingdom of the living God. They shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life and the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as this type of finances is used, I bind it to the kingdom that shall multiply again and again and again and again many times over for the saving knowledge and delivering power and healing of your power for your people and for the kingdom's sake. Father, I pray your blessings upon these thy people. Abraham's blessings shall be theirs as they walk in holiness and righteousness before you, to serve you all the days of their life, to make Jesus truly Lord over every area of their life. Help each one of us, Lord, that it be the desire of our heart to walk before you in righteousness and holiness, to be holy unto thee, a temple set apart, cleansed and righteous in righteousness and holiness, washed in the blood of the Lamb, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. To him be the glory and the praise forever and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. We had a wonderful, wonderful teaching from Brother Moore. Was it yesterday morning? You can't remember when. I believe it was yesterday morning. And we certainly appreciated it, and it was anointed of the Lord. So for the rest of the evening, we'll turn the pulpit over to Brother Earl Moore to minister to us as the Lord leads him, and then for him to close in whatever fashion that the Lord lays on his heart at that time. Brother Earl Moore.
Thank you. I appreciate the lifting up of the wonderful, glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Lord of all, and Lord all the time. He's the Lord God of heaven and earth. You know, sometimes I think that we have a tendency to want to take from him the power and glory that's due his name. And we need to realize that we're going to have to bow before him. God's bringing a people, I believe, to a revelation that he is over all things to the church, which is his body. Praise the Lord. And yet at the same time, we're living in the most glorious hour that the church has ever had the opportunity to witness. And eye hath not yet seen, ear hath not yet heard, has not yet entered our heart all the good things that God's got prepared for those that love him. Hallelujah. It's a day of victory, a day of glory, a day of harvest. We heard about that this very day. That look now, lift up your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. And wherever God speaks that we need to go, we need to be subject to his leadings and his guidance. Praise the Lord. It's been good to be here, sir. Brother said a while ago, meeting friends that we haven't seen for a while, getting new acquaintances, and to share in the blessings of the Lord. And the praise and worship service has just been something that I've just basked in the presence of the Lord. There's something about praise and worship that just lifts you into dimensions that seemingly nothing else does. And it just kind of opens the gate into the realm of the Lord to prepare us to receive what God wants to say to us. And I feel in my spirit that God is saying that I have not brought you this far to perish you, nor to bring thee unto realms of destruction, but I have brought thee to the place where thou mayest see and know of my great glory. For it is not my pleasure to withhold from thee, but it's in my divine will to give and give out of the unlimited resources that the heavens has. Therefore, if thou shalt believe with all thine heart, ye can receive that which the Lord thy God said is prepared for thee. Draw not back, for the Lord saith, my soul hath no pleasure in them that draw back. But press ye forward unto the prize, the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, shut the door to the past and behold the glories of the Lord that are before thee. For behind thee is like a burnt field, but the Eden of God is yet ahead of thee. Walk therefore into the glories of God, and walk therefore in the purpose of God. For the Lord said, behold, if I have spoken it into your spirit, I am able to perform it according to the counsel of mine own word. For there is nothing too hard for thy God to do, but thou must believe. Let not thy doubts nor thy fears cause thee to miss what the Lord hath prepared for thee in this great hour. For the table of the Lord is being spread in the midst of thee, and the anointing of thy God shall be upon thy head. Only dwell thou in the presence of thy God forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Great day of God. It's a great day of God. Hallelujah. And I believe that he spread a table literally before us. And he's saying the old song we used to sing, come and dine. Begin to partake of the things that God said is yours. I was raised in Pentecost, and I grew up among those unworthy people. That was the theme of most testimonies, was confessing their unworthiness. And they never got anything. They just encompass this mountain. You are worthy because he hath made you worthy. And what he says you are, you are. You're no more than what he says you are. For no man by thought can add as much as one cubit to a statue. And you can't make yourself any more holy than what he has made you holy. But you're everything that he's declared you to be. And if God spoke into your spirit and spoke into your heart and declared who you are and told you what you can do it. It's time you begin to believe the Lord. Don't let, as it were, the spies that were like in the days of Moses. When the Lord had said, when they came to Kadesh Barnea, cross over and possess the land. Moses said, I think we better spy out the land first. If God says you can do it, you don't need to send any spies to find out if what God said is true. Because most of the time, the spies will cause you to begin to doubt the true word of the Lord. Yes, 40 years, and they came back to the same place. A generation passed. 1948, I was in what they called the Latter Rain Revival. And we was in Detroit, Michigan, and I heard Sister Beale talking about the outpouring of God's Spirit. And she said, I hope and pray we don't have to wait another 40 years before we cross over into the victories of the Lord. but we have. And I say the same thing tonight. Let us begin to believe the report of God. Amen. Let us begin to believe what God's saying. Let's not wait another 40 years. Let's begin to possess our possessions in Him. Hallelujah. Rise up and begin to move in the fullness of what God said. The commendation of Paul, and almost a commandment unto Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Whatever God's told you to do, do it. And do it with all your might. Might not look like, but I was I grew up like a beanpole. Skinny runt of a kid. There was another fellow in our neighborhood. We grew up, our paths went different ways, and years later, this man was runner-up in Mr. Indiana Muscle Building. He made a remark to me, "Earl, you and I were born with exactly the same muscles. And if you'd have went through the exercising and the training that I went through, you could have a body like this too. I'm not interested in bodybuilding. But you have all received the same Holy Spirit of any person, great or small, you can think of. And you see people moving in dimensions that we almost become envious of. As the word of the Spirit of the Lord say, you could be in that same place if you exercised yourself in the things of God as they have exercised themselves in prayer and supplication and give themselves wholly unto the things of the Lord. See, gifts and ministry are not given to you to use. You are given to be used of the ministries. Hallelujah. See, the ministry is not subject to you. You're subject to the ministry. You are His to command. Hallelujah. See, there's a... For multitude of years, I know people who have served God because someday we're going to rule and reign with Him. One of these days, I'm going to look upon that bunch that didn't do what I said. Say, see, I told you so. I've heard sermons on radio and television and in person where folks said, bless God, we're even going to judge angels. We're going to show them a thing or two. Somewhere along the line, I think we've got the wrong idea. In the book of Revelation, like the fourth chapter. Thank you. Yeah. Fourth chapter, book of Revelation. And second verse, John has a visitation. The Bible said in first verse, and I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Second verse, and immediately I was in the Spirit. If we are going to move in God, we must move in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The whole ministry, walk with God, is in the Spirit. See, I've told people that we come through the fivefold ministry. Everybody want to know, what are you? Well, basically, you're not much of anything. Because if He isn't the apostle in the apostle, there's no such thing as an apostle. And if He's not the prophet in the prophet, you're never a prophet. And if He's not the pastor in the pastor, He's not a pastor. If He's not the teacher in the teacher, you're not a teacher. If He's not the evangelist in the evangelist, you're not an evangelist. It's not a profession. Hallelujah. It's got to be Him. And He can be whatever He wants to be in you. He might want you to be a teacher one time, an evangelist the next time, an apostle. And you may never get to have some more apostleship the long day of life. Because if He don't continue to be it, you're not. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But whatever functions in you must function in the realm when you're in the Spirit. I used to preach a lot in black churches, and some of the preachers get up there and said, well, I'm just going to preach till the preacher comes. Well, I think some of them, the preacher never did get there. It's the anointing that's going to break the yoke. We must find a relationship with Him. And we must walk and live in a spiritual relationship with the Almighty. And when John got in the Spirit, and he's caught up into the heavenly realm, he got a tremendous revelation that a lot of people ought to get. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and 144,000 sat thereon. Huh? No. How many is on the throne, in the throne? One. One. Hallelujah. He is the authority of all things. Somebody was mentioning in the last day concerning Joseph in Egypt land. And when the Lord had finally exonerated him and allowed him to be exalted, Pharaoh says to him, I'm going to give you the authority over the whole of the land of Egypt. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Hallelujah. And I'm hearing God said, I'm going to give to you. Because this is his prayer in St. John, the 17th chapter. As I have received of the Father, so give I unto thee. What he received in Matthew, he tells us, all power in heaven and earth is give unto me. And as he has received, he gives it unto us. That all power in heaven and earth is also ours, but remember, in the throne, it's only one, not you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are totally under his authority. Remember the young man that came, the centurion, and said to the Lord, my servant at home is sick unto death. And Jesus said, I'll go with you to the house. He said, don't need to do that because, and he makes this statement, I too am a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes, that one, come, and he comes. And the Lord said, I have not saw such faith in all Israel. Go your way. When you get home, your servant will be healed. That very same self hour when he got home, the servant was healed. But the thing that impressed me was that this man said, I'm not a man of authority, but I am a man under authority. And you will never, ever have any more authority than what you will put yourself under.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The reason Jesus has all authority is because he is under the total authority of the Father. Hallelujah. I'm saying what I'm saying tonight because God's preparing a people to give unto us a realm of authority that has never been committed to a people before. God's raising up a people in this hour not to fly off somewhere, not to abdicate, but to take over. We ministered concerning Daniel and how people tied Daniel and the revelation together. And you have to identify when Daniel's 70th week transpired almost 2,000 years ago to understand that a lot of the boogeyman messages we've been hearing is not scriptural or not according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. We're in harvest time. Harvest time is time of labor, but it's also the time of great reward. I grew up on a farm. Go out and plow the fields in the springtime and plant the seed in the ground and cultivate it and harrow it and disc it and fix it and take care of it. And all that we did was for one thing, harvest time. And even though we bent our backs in the harvest time, we knew harvest time was payday too. When the crop was taken to the market and the grain is taken to the granary, we're getting our reward. It's not planting time. It isn't cultivating time. It's harvest time. And God's preparing a people for a harvest time. We said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Somebody said to me after I had ministered, said, Brother Moore, what are we going to do about all of the great trouble that's coming in the last days and all the tribulation time that's coming. I said, I'm not going to do much about it because I'm not in that bunch. Hallelujah. My Bible said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In me, you're going to have peace and help and victory. Glory to God. And I'm not going with the bunch that's headed for trouble. But how about all this judgment? Well, I want to tell you something. The only judgment you're ever going to be given is righteous judgment. Not condemnation judgment. See, Jesus judged the earth by just being here. If I had a candle light and you walk in with a 100-watt light bulb, you don't have to stand there and condemn me that my light is not as great as yours. All you got to do is let your light shine. And that light shining will judge the fact that I don't have as much light as you've got. The whole creation is groaning and waiting for a people to begin to manifest what we've been talking about for 100 and some years. Now hear me quickly. I do not minimize for 1 second all that God has done and is doing. But I know about you, I weep over the fact of those that are prayed for and nothing seemingly happens. The ones they wheel in and wheel out. And I've been to the big crusades, you know, and they leave the hard cases till everybody's just about gone. And then they gather them over and say a prayer for them and say, now, if you're not healed, it's your fault. Because you've seen all these other folks we healed out in front of everybody. I don't think Jesus done that. And my Bible said, as he is, so are we in this present world. But we're not going to find it by trying to gloat in what we have possessed in ourselves. We have to realize it's him that does it. And I have to have the faith. And I have to have the faith that he's going to do it. We are laborers together with him. I don't minimize your responsibility, but we do not take the place of what he said he's going to do. But we yield ourselves under his hand and his authority. That he is Lord of all. This is his church. This is his body. And I tell folks, those who are sport-minded, this is his ball game. And he made the rules. And if you don't like it, get out of the game. And play it according to the rules that he says is ours. That we do. Because we are, God did not raise up the church to bring it to an end of such weakness that he had to come sometime at some midnight and sneak us off somewhere before the devil destroyed the rest of us. Now, a lot of folks make you think that. I remember when God began to bring us into the ministry of the gifts, and we had gone to Mexico and we came back through Corpus Christi to a church minister I had known a few years before that up in Indiana, was now down in Corpus Christi. And we went in on a Sunday night and we literally scared him. He barely acknowledged us. We had come in there with all these gifts and he wasn't about to have them in his church. And he got up and in the course of his message, he said, I know that we don't have what we used to. And I'm not asking for any more. Not looking for anything. Because I read in the Bible where it said, just strengthen those things that remain. If we can just hold off till the rapture, we're going to make it. And I turned to the party I come to and I said, what a word of defeat. Amen. Lord. See, God hath put us here, as I mentioned the other night, to cause a growth of the kingdom. That the mountain of the Lord is going to fill the whole earth. All
the nations are going to turn to the Lord. For 40 years, I went across this country preaching the doom of communism. What authority I have, it was not of God and could not stand. And I just believed God's word. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors. And God has set us here to cause the nations to be turned unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, John's writing in the book of Revelation is not a time tacked on after the church age. See, Scofield established that by misplacing and miscalculating concerning Daniel's 70th week. See, John saw the church age. The Word of God said he would do nothing till he showed it to his prophets first. I had said to the Lord, you cannot have a 2,000-year church age without revealing it to somebody first, because the apostles did not see a 2,000-year church age. And I would go back in the Old Testament and I would find prophecies even concerning cities, their rise and fall, and chapter after chapter concerning countries and nations. And then I turn over to the book of Ephesians and I read that the church is the greatest thing of God's creation, and it's the vehicle by which he is going to show his manifested glory even in the ages to come. And I said, something so great and so glorious, there's got to be a detailed account of it. And the Lord spoke into my spirit and said, I gave it to John. That was the beginning of me writing the book we have over there, Revealing the Christ of the Revelation. I opened up the book and I read again the first couple verses. And the Holy Spirit let me begin to read it like I had never quite read it before. The following which you are about to read is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I literally closed the Bible. I looked heavenward. And I said, Lord, that's not so. I know better. Isn't that something? How we suddenly know more than the Lord? That's not the way I teach it. That's not the way I've been taught. Therefore, it can't be so. I said, I know, because I've been told that this John being caught up to heaven was a type of the church. And the church is raptured in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, and it don't come back till the 19th chapter. And I said, Lord, if you're between the fourth chapter and the 19th chapter, I don't know you. And the Lord in his kindness and mercy and grace spoke into my spirit. And he said, son, but I'm there. And if you will listen, I will show you me in the book. And I said, Lord, you'll have to. And he began to tear my heart all to pieces. He tore all my doctrines to pieces. He tore the book of Revelation to pieces. And he began to put it back together in my spirit. And I began to see one of the most beautiful things. I had loved history. And suddenly the Lord let me begin to lay the book of Revelation over history. And I seen the outpouring that came in the day of Pentecost. I seen the falling away. I seen the dark ages. I seen the Reformation. I seen the outpouring of his spirit for this day and the final gathering together that God's going to have, all in the book of Revelation. Suddenly all the symbols took on a total different aspect than what I had been taught that they were. Hallelujah. And of course, like everybody else, I begin to look for that horrible one world man that's going to rise up and tattoo, stamp, give you a number. Because I heard about him since I was a kid. I mean, go back as far as Napoleon. He was pegged as being the Antichrist. The Pope pegged as the Antichrist. Hitler, Mussolini, come right on down the line. Every time somebody comes to world preeminence, he's got to be it. And, yeah, Kissinger, yeah, even had the beast, you know, over there, a building over in Holland or somewhere, and Belgium, yeah, all my, and everybody's trembled. I tell folks, I remember back when I was
just a young fellow, and the NRA came out. And the NRA, they had an eagle for an emblem, and somebody sat down and counted the feathers on the NRA eagle and found there were 666 feathers on the NRA eagle, and they wouldn't sign up for NRA. People wouldn't sign up for Social Security because it was taking a number. We've been, you know, you couldn't have hired me to drink tonic 666. I was standing in a line getting license plates one time. And a fella up had just come away from the counter, and he had like 660 was his license plate. I said, 61, 62, 63, 64, 66. I said, sir, pardon me just a minute. And I stepped out of the line and come back. And he said, you come back. I said, oh, no, that's all right. I'll just get behind here. 667. We've been terrified. See? But when I found out, finally, that it talks about an Antichrist, and the only one that mentions Antichrist is John, who wrote the book of Revelation, and he never mentions the word Antichrist in the whole of the book of Revelation. And when he did write it in his epistles, he said there are many Antichrists, and they're already here. Something is against the anointing. Because Christ means anointed. And there has to be something that's against the anointing. That's Antichrist, against that anointing. Paul tells us in Romans that the carnal man, the carnal nature, is enmity against God. It's Antichrist. Paul said, I'm in a battle. When God wants me to do something, I don't want to do it. And what I want to do, God don't want me to. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Thank God the deliverance has to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Your carnal nature is the only Antichrist you have to worry about. And you get that deliverance, whether it's here or wherever you get that deliverance, God's trying to deliver us 100% from ourselves. And deliver us into the total authority of who he is. That there's only one on the throne. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But what about that mark of the beast? Well, I read in the Bible several places where God calls men beasts. Jude calls them brute beasts. Like the beasts of the field. Man without God is a beast. You don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to believe me. All you got to do is read your papers. There's nothing too horrible and terrible that men won't do. The beastly nature of man. You were born in that beast nature. Hallelujah. See, the beast has a name. He has a mark. He has a number. His name is Adam. His mark is sin. His number is 6. If you're trying to find God with a carnal mind, 6. A carnal heart, 6. Carnal strength, 6. 666. I got news for you. You'll never find him. You've got to have a 777. The mind of Christ, the heart of Christ, the strength of the Lord. You've got to exchange what you are for what he is. But you can't buy nor sell unless you have the mark of the beast. How many of you have got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. How many gallons of gas has your Holy Ghost bought for you? You buy it just like anybody else. Somebody else had to pay for it that gave it to you. You go down to the grocery store, you pay for it just like the man if he's the worst crook in town. We're in this world and we still do business in this world by that nature. But I read a little further over in the book of Revelation, and these are they who are overcoming that beast, his name, his mark, and his number. And this is what God's working on. We're overcoming this whole domain. We're coming into his, when we know and come to the total, complete understanding that only one is in the throne. Hallelujah. We are His to command. Hallelujah. God is our help and our strength. See, in the 12th chapter, to me, of the book of Revelation, there is a woman clothed in all of the glory of heaven that brings forth a man-child that's caught up under the throne. I've heard all kind of ideas and appropriations, but I see that as being the church of the day of Pentecost, arrayed in all the glory, brought forth a ministry that was caught up to throne power and has been preserved by God for 2,000 years. The church has gone into a wilderness, been persecuted, but God's going to bring deliverance in these last days. Hallelujah. I told you I grew up in church, tongue-talking. Our churches ran on two cylinders, tongues and interpretation. That's all where we had, and we had a lot of it. Especially if you was an interpreter, man, they wanted you in all the churches. They had a lot of folks talking tongues, and had many folks interpreting. They found out, oh, I think the Lord's speaking to you, sister. You ought to come over to our church. We need you over to our church. Brother, we need you over to our church because you used an interpretation. And the same Bible that showed us this glorious experience, suddenly we begin to find out that there's a five-fold ministry. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. It had been in the book all the time, but our eyes had been blinded to it. And God began to open our eyes to see something because the age was demanding it. Brother Miller, because God is demanding something in this hour, He's opening our eyes anew and afresh. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I hear the Lord say, be not discouraged in well-doing, for in due season, my son, thou shalt reap not. And the Lord said, in my help and my strength will cause thee that thou shalt not faint, but thou shalt go strong in my power. Hallelujah. And behold, ha, that fresh anointing, a fresh anointing of God's glory shall come upon thee. And thou shalt run, as it were, and skip again in the power of His presence. Hallelujah. With a glorious flow of a release in the power of the Holy Ghost that thou hast desired and thy soul has cried for, and behold, the Lord shall bring it into being. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't believe that's just for Brother Miller. I believe God's talking to all of us to bring us in this hour to dimensions in Him that seemingly has been hid from us. But the hour demands. I hear the call of David. Wake up the mighty men. Lord, sound thy trumpet, thy voice before thy army. And they're coming. And they're not going to break rank. We're not flying off. Somebody said, oh, Brother Moore, what about the second coming of the Lord? Now, hear me carefully. Don't say something I'm not saying. I'm not that much concerned about the second coming of the Lord. I believe in it. 150%. But I walked in a vacuum, Brother Miller, for years. My whole hope was in the coming of the Lord. Somewhere, sometime, He's going to come. And it took the Lord to bring me to a revelation. I didn't have to worry about that. He has already come.
Hallelujah.
He did come. He has come. He is coming. He has yet to come. But quit worrying about the yet to come. Let's start moving in the realm that He's already come in us, in His power, in His glory, in His authority, and begin to move in it that we might cause the world to come to their knees, to repent and cry out to God. Hallelujah. As I said the other day, when we are changed and become like Him, we're suddenly going to see Him in our midst. Hallelujah. My life, your life, having walked in sin, and redeemed from sin and delivered from the old nature. That's what's going to judge angels. Not us pointing fingers at them, but by the manifestation of what God is. Again, this may not bother you. I go into hospitals. I go into jails. Now I go into hospitals and I prayed and I had miracles happen. But I've walked down the halls of the hospital and seen the suffering. And something in me crying, where is the power to cry out to everyone, take up thy bed and walk? I'm not minimizing. I've seen them raised from the dead. I've seen people, new hearts put in them. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen the blind eyes open. I've seen the deaf ears unstopped. I've seen all kind of miracles happen in a ministry. But my heart is torn out for that which has not happened. And it's not because of them. It's because of me. Amen. That I might learn how to submit. Because God's going to have an army. God's going to have a people. And we're going to turn the kingdom. Now, he's breaking up the fallow ground. Revivals, Holy Ghost revivals. And I think I have that article right here in this case, that newspaper. See if that is. I mentioned it. And this was, I wish I had 1,000 copies of this. This is the Indianapolis Star paper, December the 25th. It's called Faith. Fervor, yes. And that whole page and the fourth page is all about the Holy Ghost tongue-talking people in the world. How many millions? This was survey was taken in 1988, and it says up here, and 50,000 new members a day. They're being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. They estimate that there's 80.5 million tongue-talking people in North America. 29 million in Europe. And this is before the wall fell. 4 million in Russia. 60 million in East Asia. 78 million in Latin America. 48 million in Africa. 30 million in South Asia. 2 million in Australia. And they're coming in. God's breaking up that. He's preparing it. But he's preparing for someone that's going to go beyond that. That's going to go beyond just... Now, you can't understand what I'm saying. Just beyond speaking in tongues. Beyond interpretation. Beyond gifts. These are all resident in the final... But it's not the thing we're putting emphasis on. It's coming into the manifestation of him.
Hallelujah.
That he's seen.
Hallelujah.
That I be not known... for a ministerial position, that I be not known for a gift manifestation, but I be known because Christ is seen in me. Hallelujah. That we'll be remembered not by denomination, but we'll be remembered because of Christ. When God can find this people, hallelujah, he's going to cause kingdom after kingdom to begin to fall. And we're going to see a turnaround, and we're going to see this earth and our nation turn back to God as we have never imagined it. Stage is being set for it. Now the enemy, see, all we're hearing is a report of what the enemy's planned for us. Somebody's talking about a video they just saw that has, I think it's 4 or 5 concentration camps already set up in America. And they got another name for them. Internment camps, yes, that's the word, internment camps. But they're basically making them to put Christians in. But I got news for you. We're out multiplying them. Russia couldn't stop it with communism. China couldn't stop it. Had to do it. The devil couldn't stop it. Empires couldn't stop it. Despots couldn't stop it. Be quiet. Because somebody who's in the throne said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They're not going to win. We're going to win in him. Hallelujah. It's going to be turned around. If anybody's going to those camps, it's going to be those who built them. Yes. Haman's going to hang on his own noose. We're victors. You might as well get equipped. Don't make preparations to pack up, get ready to fly off somewhere. Because you're liable to. Nearly all those in my past generation that preached it, they flew off somewhere. Yeah, their spirit took flight one day. I've helped put part of their carcasses in the ground. They went somewhere. Amen. But I want to go that route. I want an infusion of his life and a change that we're going to be part of what God has purpose for this harvest time. Hallelujah. That we're going to see the reward of the greatness of God. It's a great day. It's a glorious day. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'd like, if you haven't got it in your library, I'd like for you to get one of those books, because I could probably spend a month in teaching what each one of the seals is, what each one of the trumpets is, what each one of the vials is. See, the seal is the work of the Holy Spirit. The trumpet is the voice of God into and through his body. The vials are the result of rejecting what God is doing. And what all of them mean, what the Lord showed me. And I am not dogmatic to say, hey, I've got the answer and everybody else is wrong. I'm only sharing what God took 7 years to show me. And I wrote it as God gave it to me. And tell folks that if you don't like it, it burns good. But I had a lady just recently call me from Alaska, and she said, Brother Moore, I've never got a horny thing in my life. It's blessed me like this book. She said, I understand things I never understood. And said, I've been in church all my life. And she said, but I've got a few questions. Can I write them to you? And I did the, I don't want to call it, thing I shouldn't have said. I said, well, if you want to, I've even got a fax machine. You can fax them to me. Now, about 3 days before I left, here come about four sheets of the fax machine. And the day we left, about another three, my wife said, hey, she just sent you three more pages on the fax machine. I said, I haven't even got to the first four or five. But I realized questions need to be answered. But we need to get back to the book and see what the book says. It's not what I say, nor what you say, not what men have written in the past, but we need to examine the book again in the light of what God's saying today. Hallelujah. Oh, God's so good. Do you want him to empower you? Are you ready to admit to God, I haven't got it all? Hallelujah. God can never baptize only a need. Till you admitted you was a sinner and say, I need salvation. You may have walked in conviction, but you were not saved till you confessed your need of salvation. There's people all over this nation that are good, wonderful Christians who feel they do not need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go to church, give, support, and they have not got the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they've never had a realization they need it. And you're going to have to come to the realization, Lord, I need it. I need that deliverance. I need that fullness. I need to be changed. I need to awaken like this. And you have to cry day and night and get in every deliverance service all over the country until God delivers you of you.
Yeah.
Do it until you awaken his likeness. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't God good? Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great is our God. Great, O God, is our faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be our God. Bless the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let his name be engraved upon your heart. That you sin not against him. That you, God may open your ears that you may hear him. Open your eyes you might see him. Guide your steps you might walk in him. And anoint you that you might be used of him for this hour that he's ordained you for. He's let you live in such an hour as this. Reserved you for this hour. Don't look upon somebody in the past, but look upon your challenge and your calling at this hour. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I do have, and I say this, I've got a few of these. I didn't bring these all in color. I just getting what I got out of them, because I had to get color prints of all of these. And I've got a little over $4, and so I'm just putting down for $5 a piece. This is what the chart I had up here, all in color, of Daniel's 70th week and scriptures. And if it can be a blessing to you, while we already got them, why, You're free to come and get something to him. Praise the Lord. God's good.
Amen.
God's good. Now stir up the gift of God that's in you. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me just a moment. I want you to put your hands out in front of you. And I want you to look at them for a minute. And I want to tell you something. If you've never realized it, these are the hands of the Lord. Hallelujah. These are the hands that can be laid on the sick and the recover. These are the hands that can be laid on people and gifts can be imparted. Hallelujah. But you need your vessel. You can't give what you haven't got. But you need to have your vessel loaded with everything God's got that you can begin to impart it. But I know one thing. You have a blessing already in you. And you can bless somebody with these hands. And I'm going to ask God for a special anointing of His blessing. And I want you to turn to someone near you, in front of you, back of you. And I want you to lay your hands on them. And I want you to impart a blessing for them that this year be the greatest, most blessed year that they've ever had in Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell you, Heavenly Father, we ask, O God, that You shall cause a special blessing to come in these hands, O God, that we held before Thee, O God, that Thou shalt cause the anointing to be in these hands as we turn, Lord, and begin to lay our hands on different ones, O God, that we can impart that blessing and bless them, O God, hallelujah, for this day, for this night, for the coming year, for the growth and the maturity and the rising of You in these vessels, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Now just turn. Lay your hands on somebody and bless them in Jesus' name. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I bless you in the name of the Lord. Let the blessing of the Lord, hallelujah, be upon thee and keep thee and help thee and strengthen thee all the days of thy life. Hallelujah. Great is our God. Great is His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Bless you, Jesus. Great God of heaven and heaven.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.